I'm Chelsea Reber for News Talk 1620 WTAW. In January, the City of Bryan's Planning and Zoning Commission formed a citizen subcommittee in regards to stealth dorms in established neighborhoods. After two public meetings and almost 300 surveys, the subcommittee reported their findings at a workshop earlier this month. We spoke with chairman of the subcommittee, Kyle N. Cardona.
What we realized from the citizens, we did the top 10 issues. The top 10 issues that the citizens brought to us was parking, poorly kept lawns, noise, traffic, road congestion, poor home maintenance, trash, litter, neighborhood safety, neighborhood integrity was a very big one. Stealth dorms removing housing options for non-students, and poor building standards for stealth dorms. Those are the top 10 citizen issues.
So with that input, what did the subcommittee decide is the best plan of action? What comes next?
Well, what we wanted to do is when we came together, we've realized very, very fast that there's not one solution to this issue. We took it to heart, and we've started the subcommittee in January of 17. And we wanted to make sure that we covered all our bases. We wanted to do a lot of research because we realized awful fast that we're not the only city that's having these problems. But in other cities across the country that have colleges that are growing, they're all doing something just a little bit different. And we realized there's just not one solution for this. So we wanted to find out what our issues were from our citizens. And that's the first thing we did. Then we wanted to go ahead and take those issues and try to put something in place to help the citizens. And the one thing we noticed right from the beginning was that if we don't put something forward, this could be harmful for the city of Bryan for the future. These stealth dorms could be just devastating for the integrity of the neighborhood associations. The first thing that we did to put this together is we wanted to go ahead and we wanted to let the neighborhood and let the citizens know they are in control of their neighborhood. And the first thing we wanted to do is we wanted to reduce the residential neighborhood conservation district from a vote of 66% of the neighborhood down to 58% of the neighborhood. One of the things that we realized was that the citizens the neighbors weren't talking to each other. And we needed to open up that communication, and we wanted to make sure that their voice was heard. We looked at the statistics about the neighborhood association that were coming to City of Bryan that were not able to hit the 66%. So we wanted to give them assistance, but we also know I'm very, very big into your private personal rights as far as you owning your home. You don't want to force an issue on your neighbor, but you want to work together and you want to come up with what's best for your neighborhood. I was very, very pleased to see that being approved by council on the 25th. So that was the first thing. The second thing our subcommittee is trying to do is really define what a stealth dorm is. We're really trying to define this as a detached shared housing. And we want to, when we were talking to the citizens in all these, one of the people, it was really, really neat. They said, we can see what it is, mm-hmm. We know what it is, but we can't describe what it is.
Right.
And so we wanted to make sure that we can go ahead and we can define what a stealth dorm is. So that is going to be coming up here relatively short is we've come up with a definition for what the stealth dorm is. We brought it to P&Z last week. P&Z asked for some different changes in there, and rightfully so, because if you have the same pair of eyes working on something as long as we have, we needed more input. So we're gonna go ahead and we're going to have a definition of what a stealth dorm is. And then also what we want to try to go ahead and do is have prior approval for a conditional use permit for a stealth dorm. So we're going to be able to see what it is, say what it is. We're not saying that building stealth dorms in Bryan is not going to happen or shouldn't happen. We're not trying to say that at all. We're not trying to prevent development. We're not trying to prevent lot owners or homeowners to decide what they want to do with their own homes. but we want to make sure we don't break up the neighborhood integrity. So it's a fine line that we're walking, trying to keep the neighborhood integrity up and trying to go ahead and make sure the property rights are there for the citizens. Another thing we're trying to do, the third prong attack at this, is we're trying to create a home improvement incentive program. One of the things that we've realized is that in talking to the developers and talking to the real estate and talking to young families trying to move to Bryan, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to find a new home under $200,000, $225,000. And a starter family, that's a lot of money.
Right.
And there's not enough inventory in Bryan for startup families or retirees. It's important that it's two separate groups of people, but we're looking out for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to go ahead and we want to have a home improvement incentive program to find homes in established neighborhoods, perhaps 35 years old or older, that can bring a little light. The family can go ahead and purchase this at a reasonable rate. They can go ahead and they can put money into their investment. They can bring new life into the neighborhood. And it's a win-win. It's a win for the young people. It's a win for the neighborhood. It's a win for the city. The last thing we're looking at is creating a neighborhood overlay district. Once again, it's a fine line. We're not saying that development should not happen. We're not saying that infill development should not happen. But we are saying, please be careful with neighborhood integrity. Please be careful with the traffic maintenance. We're looking at increased development standards for redevelopment of detached shared housing. So we're looking at if you want to put one of these housing units in an established neighborhood, why? What are you going to do to better that neighborhood? What is this going to fit the footprint of that neighborhood that was established 30, 40, 50 years ago? Is this a neighborhood that wants drastic change? Do they all, is this an area where students should be living? Or is this a neighborhood that we should have younger families move in? So this is going to give the power back to the citizen, give the power back to planning and zoning, to really follow our comprehensive plan that we've spent so much time putting together over the last couple of years with the city staff.
So, Kyle, now that you guys have proposed these principles, the subcommittee has kind of come up with all of this, citizens will have additional opportunities to share their input and provide feedback. You guys will have some meetings coming up in the next few weeks?
That is correct. One of the things, and I don't know... When Ms. Kathy Connolly and I put the subcommittee together, the most important thing we wanted was input from citizens. And that's what we've tried to do. With the amount of public hearings we've had, with the availability for people to send us emails, call us, whatever it needs to be, I think it's important that we go ahead and we send this back down to the citizens, show them what we're looking at, explain what we're talking about, and get their input. Because there could be something we're overlooking. You know, like I said, there's no magic one-way band-aid. This is going to be approached from three, four, five different views, five different ways, for the best interest of the neighborhood integrity of our citizens.
Now, if someone has or wants to find more information or does have comments that they want to make and maybe can't attend the meetings, what is the best way for them to get a hold of y'all?
Go through the city website, or you can go ahead and contact the planning and zoning. We have our website there. You can go right to planning and zoning for the website. You can go to the city. You can call Martin's office, whatever is convenient for somebody. It's we're a phone call away, we're an email away. I'm at my businesses. They can stop in if they want to stop in. Whatever is easy for the community.
Great, Kyle. Anything else that you'd like to add today before I let you go? It's a ton of great information, and I'm sure people are going to be very interested in it.
The one thing in looking into this matter that really opened my eyes is that this has been an issue that just has not started. This has been going on for 13, 14, 15 years in our Bryan community. And we wanted to make sure that we go ahead and we bring the best knowledge-based platform to the citizens and to city council. And I just want to make sure that gets out loud and clear, because we've been spending a lot of time and we've been talking to a lot of people and doing a lot of research, and by no way, means or shape, would it be appropriate to just bring in what another city's doing, or would it be appropriate just to just throw something out there and see what sticks? I'm very, very proud of Mrs. Connolly, myself, and the city staffers and all the citizens we've talked to, the homeowners associations we've talked to, the realtors association, developers. This is by no means trying to take something away from someone. You have to have a baseline where everyone understands where you're coming from, but most importantly, the citizens that live here, you know, they're taxpayers, and they care about what happens to Bryan, and we want to make sure that everything is taken into account.
Thanks again to Kyle Incardono for visiting with us today about the subcommittee's findings. For more information, you can go online to bryantx.gov. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620 WTAW.